Hello, I'm Chris Berrow with the BBC News. Australia is holding the first funeral for victims of the mass shooting on Bondi Beach. Rabbi Eli Schlanger was one of the 15 people killed at a Jewish Hanukkah celebration. Ahead of the funeral, Australia's Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, said he was determined to stamp out anti-Semitism and Islamist extremism. Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
The prominent rabbi leaves behind a wife and young family, including a two-month-old baby. Friends say he was vivacious and caring. His funeral will be the first of many. Health authorities say 22 people are being treated in hospital following Sunday's attack. Several are in a critical condition. One of the alleged Bondi gunmen, Naveed Akram, who's 24, has woken from a coma and could soon be charged over Australia's worst mass shooting in three decades.
A son of the Hollywood director Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle is being charged with their murder. Prosecutors in Los Angeles said Nick Reiner could face life in prison or the death penalty if convicted. The couple were stabbed to death in their home on Sunday. The chief of the Los Angeles Police Department is Jim McDonnell.
These are some of the most serious charges that a DA's office can bring against anyone. And we anticipate that the discovery that we will produce to the defense will be robust. It will be very involved. They'll want adequate time to review it. They'll want to go through every single factor that they can ascertain in the defense of Mr. Nick Reiner.
Police in the United States have released another image of a person of interest in a mass shooting at Brown University in Rhode Island on Saturday. It follows several short videos shared by investigators on Monday of a man wearing a black hat and dark clothes walking near the building in Providence around the time of the shooting. A $50,000 reward has been offered. Two students died and nine others were injured in the shooting. The US has named Colombia's largest drug trafficking gang as a foreign terrorist organisation. The Clan del Golfo is the latest criminal group in Latin America to be designated by the Trump administration. Ambarasan Etarajan reports.
The classification gives Washington more legal and military power to combat the Clan del Golfo. Last year, the former Biden administration sanctioned top leaders of the cartel, which in recent years has begun to refer to itself as the Gaytanist Army of Colombia. The Clan del Golfo has origins in right-wing paramilitary organizations. The group and the Colombian government are currently holding talks in Qatar, part of President Gustavo Petro's plan to bring peace to the country after six decades of armed conflict.
This is the latest world news from the BBC. Donald Trump says he stands by his chief of staff, Susie Wiles, after she gave an interview to Vanity Fair featuring candid comments about administration officials. Mr. Trump told the New York Post he had full faith in Ms. Wiles. She's condemned the article as a disingenuous hit piece. She described the president, who doesn't drink, as having an alcoholic's personality, saying Vice President Vance is a conspiracy theorist, and criticises the Attorney General Pam Bondi's handling of the Epstein affair. Ms. Wiles said the article lacked context, but has not denied making the comments. President Trump has imposed full travel bans on several more countries. Citizens from Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, South Sudan, Syria, and those holding Palestinian Authority-issued documents will be barred from entering the US. The ban comes in on January 1st. Climate campaigners have criticised the European Union's watering down of its planned ban on new petrol and diesel cars. Greenpeace said it would be bad for jobs, air quality and the availability of electric cars. The EU had promised to phase out non-electric vehicles by 2035, but the new plans have a target for emissions reductions instead. Wopke Hoekstra speaks for the European Union.
This flexibility, in our view, is the cornerstone of the proposal because it drives down emissions and it creates a win-win. Providing flexibilities, creating a lead market on steel, doing what is helpful for the sector, and at the same time making sure that our climate goals are rock solid.
Football's world governing body says it will release a number of $60 seats for the World Cup next year after protests over high prices. FIFA said the value tickets would make up 10% of those given to national federations to hand out across all fixtures, including the final. Supporters groups had strongly criticised previously announced pricing. And that's the latest BBC News.